joining us on the Connect Press, singer, songwriter, worship leader Melanie Penn. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You've just released Emmanuel the Folk Sessions. This is a beautiful spin on the Christmas carol space, because a lot of these songs were ones that you've shared from the perspective of people within the Bible story that are originals. They take us into the story in a way that we haven't seen before. Why was that perspective and that approach one that you wanted to take to the Christmas story?
That's a great question. And, you know, I wrote original Christmas songs, and it's kind of a risky thing to do because Christmas is about familiar songs. I mean, I think one reason people love Christmas so much is because they can revisit songs year after year. And then you only, you know, but they're only sung for like 4 weeks out of an entire year. So it feels familiar to revisit that music. So when I thought of writing songs, it really happened by accident, because one Christmas I was kind of just by myself in my apartment, and I randomly, like, there's no explanation except God kind of leading me down this creative path, but I wrote a song from the perspective of one of the wise men. It was called Follow the Star. It's all about trusting that you're on the right journey, but not really knowing where it's going to lead you. And I was so touched personally by that song, writing it. I thought, I wonder if there's other songs here from other characters in the Christmas story. And then before I knew it, I had an album.
And it's something so unique that I think people will embrace it, even though, as you say, people love the familiarity of Christmas music. There is something nice about seeing things from a bit different perspective that we haven't really considered before. As you wrote and worked through the different stories, whose perspective do you think was most unique?
So one of the songs that I wrote on the, so Emmanuel is kind of in two parts. There's a bigger album that I presented in 2017, and then there's the Folk Sessions, which is like bluegrass renditions of the songs. So on the first Emmanuel album, I wrote a song for the Star of Bethlehem, who kind of hangs in the night sky over Christ's birth. And creatively, that was really fun to be like, well, what song would a star sing, you know? And so I love doing that. And then I think the hardest song was a song called Great Things, and that is on the Folk Sessions as well. And that's Mary's song. Mm. And writing Mary's song was such a challenge for me. I think I got very intimidated by her just because she's so iconic to us. She's been so well represented in art, like throughout, you know, the last 2,000 years, she's been very represented in art. Mm. And so I thought, who am I to kind of step into that tradition and contribute something? But eventually, her story kind of unlocked for me, and now Great Things exists.
Yeah, and it's something we can all share in and listen to. And I imagine in writing the songs, it did have quite an impact on your own relationship to the Christmas season. How has it changed the way that you reflect on the story and birth of Jesus and your own Christian faith?
It has radicalized my experience of Christmas. I think one way it did that is it, you know, all the people who encountered Christ's birth for the first time, they were just humans like us. I mean, obviously there were angels and stuff. Mm. We don't know what angels' experiences, but the story is a very human story, like shepherds and wise men and Mary and Joseph, obviously. So to think, you know, they had their doubts also, like, Mary had to be like, Gabriel comes to Mary and is like, you're going to have a son, and this person's going to redeem the whole world. And Mary's like, that's not possible. From the beginning of Christ coming to earth, people brought their doubts. Mm. And throughout the story, the doubts are kind of put to rest because there's so much grace around this story. So it helped me realize this is a human story. This isn't a myth. This isn't like something just for like sales at the stores and wrapping presents under the tree. It's a very human story and how God chose to enter the world and redeem the world.
Mm. And I like that you do humanize it, because when you think about what Mary's experience would have been with Joseph, for instance, they didn't have the luxury of reading the story in the way that we do, where you can see the outcome, you can see how in some ways,
yes,
like now you think, oh, well, that was so normal for, you know, an angel to visit, yes, for the Holy Spirit to say something. But they would have been like, what in the world is going on?
I totally agree. And when you think of Mary, the more I meditated on her life, the more certain parts of the New Testament made more sense. Like, imagine Mary's life. Her whole life, she's like, okay, this angel came to me and told me I'm going to have this supernatural experience and give birth to the Messiah. Okay. She must have been like, did I not get it right? Like, did I imagine this whole thing? I can't imagine how conflicting her life must have been and kind of how much faith she had to have that told her was right, even though the experiences she was having probably pointed to the opposite.
Yes, and now her journey is iconic within the Christmas story. This time of year is special for all of us in different ways. What is one of your favorite Christmas traditions?
Of course, now one of my favorite traditions is touring the Emmanuel. I hope to start bringing the Emmanuel show outside of the U.S. in the years to come. So I love doing that, but then I also just love walking down Fifth Avenue and looking at the store windows, and it's pretty magical in New York.
Ah, it just sounds dreamy. And your connection to the city is a pretty special one because you also were involved in musical theater in Broadway production before the career that you have now. Tell us a little bit about your time in that part of the industry.
Well, and to clarify, I did Broadway national tours, so I never was on the Broadway stage in New York, but I did travel the United States doing a Broadway show, and I really enjoyed that. I mean, for sure, like traveling and doing 8 shows a week, it's really like boot camp. You learn how to take care of your voice and just be able to perform no matter what. So in a lot of ways, I feel like it was kind of an industrial training in what it is to be a performer. But I must say, like, eventually I got to where I felt I wanted to sing my own words, because when you're part of a show, the words are given to you and you sing the same thing every night. And eventually I started to feel like, wait, I think I have something to say on my own. Like, it would be amazing to just sing words that I wrote. And so that's where the inception of my songwriting career came from. And once I started writing songs and realizing that there could be a path for me as an artist, like a solo artist, I was just like, oh, I got to do that. Like, this is really fun. And I've just had a blast.
To change out of that career, even though it was one that you really enjoyed, would have been a massive decision to make. It's Broadway. It's a national tour. How did you know it was the right thing to do?
Well, I think the Lord led me the way the Lord leads all of us. Like, two things happened at the same time. One thing is, I really had a burning desire to write songs that was kind of like insatiable. And I realized that I was going to be haunted unless I tried, right? And when you think about it, like, you can do 8 shows a week and then be writing songs on the side or something. Like, you can figure out how to make that work. But the other thing that was happening is that I was growing increasingly unhappy in the musical theater world. I was just feeling like, I don't think that this is for me. Like, there was a very deep discontent. And I look back now and I think God was calling me out of it. So it wasn't a decision of the mind. It was really a decision of the heart where I was like, I don't think I belong here anymore. So I don't have like a rational explanation, but I do tell people, and your audience might relate to this, you might as well, like, when you start feeling really unhappy somewhere deep in your heart, I'm not saying all the time, but there's a chance that it's because God is going to lead you through a change. And in order to go through that change, you have to experience that discontent first, because it kind of like gets you moving. So that's what happened to me.
Feeling discontented in a space like that would have been difficult, because so many people would have loved to be doing what you were doing. Mm-hmm. Did you feel guilty or bad for not enjoying something and wanting to get out of something that so many other people actually dream of doing?
I don't know if I felt bad. It was not, you know, it was definitely a journey. It probably took like a year or two for me to face the truth of it, like that I wasn't feeling happy anymore. But then I reached the final moments where I was just like, you know what? I know now. Like, I know that I know that I need to transition out of this. You know, the path is so unique for everyone. It's like, as soon as you start looking around, like, well, what would so-and-so say about this? Or, you know, other people want to be here. Why don't I want to be here? Like, that's where you can kind of go astray. I think it's important to really like be with the Lord in prayer and like really find out, like, where is the Lord leading you? Because when you start looking around at others and what others might think or do if they were in your place, that is really distracting.
That is such good advice. And at a time of year where comparisons can run pretty high, you've created an album with Emmanuel the Folk Sessions that inherently brings people together. The music just makes you want to gather and form community. For you at this time of year, that can be a challenge for a lot of people. How do you create community at Christmas time?
Oh, I hope so. Thank you so much for saying that, by the way. That really means a lot to me that the music itself kind of communicates that message of like togetherness. One way I try to do that is at the Emmanuel shows. Like this year I'm traveling with a bluegrass band from Nashville called the Arcadian Wild. They're really wonderful, so everyone should look them up. And then I have my bass player from New York. So it's going to be five of us on the road. And when we do a show, I really try to incorporate where we are. So people from that home audience in whatever city we're in, like they'll come up on stage with us and like read the scriptures from the Christmas story. Like there's a lot of banter. There's a lot of meditating on the moments in the story and then singing the songs. We do carols. Like I try to make it more than a concert, if that makes sense, because it is, I do want it to be an experience where it's like, oh, it wasn't, I mean, of course there were artists here, but it wasn't totally about them. Like it was about us, like all of us celebrating Christmas together and reminding ourselves of what this story is. So I keep trying to brainstorm too, like, oh, what are other ways I could really make the Emmanuel concert really interactive? And we'll see how it evolves over the years, but the core desire in the interactive part of it is to try to make it about community.
Yeah, what a special way to do a show. I love that. And for people who are going to listen to your album, it's something that clearly has come from the heart. What do you want it to leave with people?
Oh, gosh. I say, look, this album started out of the worst Christmas I ever had. Look, when I started writing these songs, I was at the end of a terrible year, a year of a lot of loss. And I was like, it was a very solitary Christmas, you know, and I was browsing. I remember like looking through social media and everyone is like all cozy by the fire with their loved ones. And I was in New York by myself. And then suddenly I start writing these songs. And so and the songs changed my life. They opened so many doors for me. They helped me have new inroads to people as an artist. And like now I get to talk to you in Australia, you know. They really blessed me. And so what I would want people to know is, hey, no matter where you are this Christmas or what position in life you're in, like there is something for you. Like God has something for you in this season. Just be open to it and you might be surprised.
So well said. Melanie, thank you for Emmanuel the Folk Sessions and thank you for taking the time to chat with us about it. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. You're so lovely. And next time we'll be in person.
Yes, love that.
Thanks so much, Laura.